It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right, as of this recording, we are, what, less than 12 hours to WWE Backlash, Puerto Rico. You know, about a week ago, we were praising Paris, France on just an amazing crowd for those WWE events. I mean, everybody that was in that ring, they must have felt like $1 million there. Last night, SmackDown with Puerto Rico, man, this is what we were talking about when I said, if you're AEW, seriously, you got to look into touring overseas a little bit more. Canada's fine. The UK, do we need to even get into that? However, I will say this. On Wednesday's episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite, I am going to do a little bit of a rant about the interesting response by the media, the news, the very outspoken minority on the internet wrestling community, and how suddenly AEW All In is the scapegoat, is the way that you try to shut people up with everything that is kind of subpar with AEW. You know, you look at some of the storylines, you look at the ratings, you look at attendance within the United States, you look at how some people are handled, how some people are forgotten. Every time you make an argument now, but they're going to get 90,000 at All In. So everything is good. Everything is good. So Wednesday, and do not misconstrue this. Everything about Wembley I have said so far has been 100% positive. Remember a couple of weeks ago when media was trying to tell you that 30,000 would be considered a big success? We never, ever, ever thought they would get that tiny amount. But we'll talk about that on Wednesday. We'll talk about that on Wednesday. Steve Joseph, thank you for the two spot. As far as Sarah Lee, the news that came out by TMZ, I am not getting into it yet. Only because anybody that wants to, I mean, his super chat, which is very much appreciated, it will pop up on the screen. I don't want to verbally repeat it. If anybody wants to go to TMZ and look it up, it's definitely horrible, tragic, if true. You know, keep in mind, People Magazine, and I like TMZ, I don't like TMZ. People Magazine, they in the past, you know, have gotten some, you know, pretty exclusive news, you know, with regards to things in wrestling. And they touched on this topic, and what they said was complete opposite. Problem is, we don't know who at People Magazine they talked to. Now TMZ is reporting something totally different about the passing of Sarah Lee last year. Regardless who was right, with the news outlet, it's still a tragic story. So once I get complete confirmation, I will definitely let you know. But right now, there's a lot of he said, she said going on. And also, I look at it like this, too. If the family themselves don't want to make that public, then I don't think we should either. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying TMZ did anything wrong, but TMZ got that from the coroner's office. And over the years, we know sometimes the coroners have gotten it wrong. So, but there is an aspect in the TMZ article that if it's true, then there's no way to argue with it. Anybody that's looking at video sees a gesture I'm doing with my fingers right now, writing something. So, all right. I want to welcome everyone to the Don Tony Show for Saturday, May 6, 2023. Don't forget, for anybody that is here that was looking for Wednesday Night Dynamite, it is over at DonTony.com. I'll be honest with you. More and more, we're going to be doing audio versions of shows only because of, you know, the way YouTube handles stuff. It's just, you know, the amount of work that's involved, it's not feasible for every show. I mean, Mondays will still remain, Saturdays will still remain, Sundays will still remain, but everything else will probably just be audio only going forward. But little plug, if you are interested, tomorrow night, Sunday night, yeah, let's see how many others decide to hold off on their recap of Backlash until Sunday night. Yeah, we're going to do it as part of the sit-down episode. That'll be Sunday night, 8.05 p.m. Eastern. I'm getting my ass a good night's sleep tonight after Backlash is over. And for my Patreon family and my YouTube channel members, last shot, if you want to be part of the contest, you have until 3 p.m. Eastern today to be part of it. So, we got some interesting news to get into, mostly WWE, and probably the biggest discussion, and we'll talk about SmackDown a little bit too, and that was a great show yesterday. That crowd just made it fair, just real, uno, dos, tres, you know, just everything about that show. So we'll talk about it a little bit, but the big news coming out in the last 24 hours was the press conference from Backlash. And during it, Triple H revealed details about a tournament to determine the new World Heavyweight Championship. Now, the controversy is that it's going to feature not only stars from Raw, but stars from SmackDown. And the format is that on this Monday's Raw, which would be the 8th of May, there will be a pair of triple threat matches, two three-way dances during Raw. And the winners of those two triple threat matches will main event Raw, and the winner of that match will take part in the championship match at Night of Champions. Next week on SmackDown, which will be the 12th of May, they will have two triple threat matches during the show. The winners of those two triple threat matches will then face each other in the main event of next week's SmackDown. And whoever wins that main event will face the winner of the main event from Raw one-on-one at WWE Night of Champions. Yeah, I had to post it, you know, just to remind everyone. On April 23rd, sit-down episode, what was the first thing that we talked about? That the WWE Championship tournaments would be was being planned shortly after the WWE draft is completed. Yeah, hey, it ended up being true. And we've kind of touched on this already. Now, listen, I'm totally in agreement with all of you out there. Oh, it's exclusive to Raw. Why are we having SmackDown stars in the tournament? You know, what the hell was the draft for? I'm just saying this to you as a wrestling fan. I'm not saying it as a opiner podcast. I'm just giving you my opinion as a wrestling fan. So many people treated the WWE draft like shit, that it means nothing. If you remember about a month ago, you had a boatload of journalists reporting that the roster split was dead. Anybody remember that? I mean, are we just supposed to pick up the Will Smith wand and forget that that was all reported? We also know that this is one company. So why are people suddenly so explicit about Raw wrestlers only fighting Raw wrestlers and SmackDown wrestlers fighting only SmackDown wrestlers? For me, what I know we're getting out of it are some pretty damn good matches for a stipulation. You know, I'm not trying to compare it to AEW, but every week on AEW, you got title matches, you got crazy stipulations, you got stipulations that amount to nothing. So this is to generate additional interest in the World Heavyweight Championship. And AJ Styles said something yesterday on SmackDown that summed it up. Why wouldn't any WWE superstar not want the World Heavyweight Championship? This is what it's all about, being a champion. Why would you not? No, it's raw. I don't want to be part of it. If you're in suspension of disbelief, if you're a wrestler, you know, this is a prize. So why? And here's two other things I want to point out. It's in Saudi Arabia. Do we need to do a refresher course on Saudi Arabia? Everything has got to be over the top. It's $50 million. Think about this. AEW All In has generated, what, $7 million in ticket sales? Okay. Subtract the rental of Wembley Stadium, which everybody so eloquently is saying is $400,000. Yeah, maybe 5 years ago. It's a little bit more than that. What about the cost for the airfare for all the wrestlers, the hotel for all the wrestlers, the food for all the wrestlers, the thousands of employees that have to work at Wembley? What about all the extra expense? People are trying to portray it that they made $7 million already. Okay, do seven all-ins, and Saudi Arabia still paid WWE more money for one event. This is not a knock on AEW right now. My point is, when you realize how much $50 million is, you know, everything has got to be over the top. Oh, I get to choose the Queen of the Ring. Oh, I got the Dewdrop. Oh, Queen Selena. Dewdrop. Selena. This is Saudi Arabia. That's why 3 weeks ago on the sit-down, or 2 weeks ago on the sit-down, we were talking about these tournaments. Everything has got to be over the top for Saudi Arabia. If AJ Styles ends up taking on Seth Rollins, oh boy, if it ends up being Roman Reigns taking on Seth Rollins, which I don't believe is going to happen, that is a rumored match. You'll get the on the table. That's the new phrase that everybody uses. Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins at Night of Champions is on the table. Yeah, I'm not so certain about that one. Some people think Solo Sikoa, but a lot of people think it could be AJ Styles. My point is, why is anybody complaining that Seth Rollins, who is the favorite, may face, let's say, AJ Styles at Night of Champions for the World Heavyweight Championship? We're getting good matches out of it. I mean, we know that World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated is one company. People have been beating you to death that the roster split sucks, the roster split is dead, the roster split ain't happening no more, the roster split is relaxed, this, this, and that. And now they announce a tournament featuring 12 stars, 6 from Raw and 6 from SmackDown. We just had a draft. What the fuck? The draft means nothing. This is a storyline. This is an entertainment company. Why is everybody just holding this with so much anger? I think it's, again, it's any reason to just rip WWE. We're watching an entertainment company. They're giving us some better matches to please Saudi Arabia. At the end of the day, I don't think there's any denial by anybody that Seth Rollins is the likely winner of all of this. So I'd rather have some three-way dances on SmackDown that I'm going to enjoy. I'd rather have maybe AJ Styles. Who knows? Maybe LA Knight somehow gets it. I think at the end of the day, we know it's Seth Rollins' championship to lose. But why are people really complaining? Why is the draft so suddenly hardcore? I think it's just reasons for people out there to say, oh, here's another reason why WWE writing sucks and I'm better. I think that's what it is. As a wrestling fan, I know what the roster split is. I know when Ric Flair and Vince McMahon were drafting stars. Yeah, I knew who was, you know, really in charge, and, you know, that the rosters were just being divided, but it was one company in the end. There's also a lot of journalists angry because they started, and we talked about it last week, they started spewing this nonsense that we're going back to separate branded pay-per-views, premium live events. Remember that bullshit last week? That got killed dead in the water because they realized right away that WWE's not going to water down these premium live. They're trying to draw 50, 60,000, 40,000 at buildings. And they're just going to have Raw only or SmackDown only? Who came up with that? That's because they were in the draft frame of mind. I'm in the WWF draft frame of mind. That's what they were in. So because the draft was Raw and it was with SmackDown, now the roster split is not dead after all. So they're going to do premium live. People are just trying to grasp at any news story, trying to turn it into news, hoping that it turns out true. And meanwhile, they all got it wrong, except for a select few. That's my honest opinion on it. That's my honest opinion. I know that if WWE, and again, that's why Brock Lesnar is a free agent. Baron Corbin is going to wrestle on SmackDown next week to put over Cameron Grimes, who made his SmackDown debut yesterday, you know, peering with Adam Pearce. Right now, there's a couple of wrestlers that they want to use loosely on both brands. We were joking last week about the possibility of Baron Corbin showing up in NXT. I think it's going to happen. I think Baron Corbin's going to show up on every show trying to get work. Brock Lesnar, if needed, and look at Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes now being on Raw is probably not going to be showing up in the near future on any SmackDown events. Maybe a dark match, but Brock Lesnar is that ace in the hole. If we need Brock to do a match on SmackDown, generate some more interest, advertise locally, that the Beast, one night only, the Beast, whoever, against whoever. That's why they're doing it. Von Wagner, they don't know what to do with him yet. So rather than commit to one brand and then he gets buried and they're like, oh, he should have went to SmackDown or he should have went to Raw. That's what it is. I think some people, yeah, and look, you play fantasy sports, fantasy baseball, fantasy football. I mean, what's the first thing that we all do after the draft is completed? We try to work out trades. We try to move people around. We try to do this. Because you could think all you want in your mind what your perfect team could be. And after it's over, you realize, you know what? I could do this. I should do this. Or you know what? Yeah, after thinking about it, maybe this was a mistake. And this is an entertainment company. Why wouldn't they do that? So honestly, you know, not taking the draft that seriously, I like the prospect of some people getting pushed that didn't get the opportunity before for obvious reasons. But I don't have any issue with Raw and SmackDown, you know, doing triple threat matches to have one-on-one at Night of Champions. It's Saudi Arabia. It's always over the top. And whoever is in that ring, whether it's Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles, Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley, Seth Rollins versus LA Knight, Seth Rollins versus Solo Sikoa, you know, it's still a match that wouldn't have happened. And Cody Rhodes, again, I think people are not paying attention enough, even on social media. Cody Rhodes wants Roman Reigns' title. That's it. Cody wants Roman. When he cut that promo yesterday, and he's talking about backlash, He can't wait until Saturday night. He's going to leave this beautiful island, Dusty, beautiful island, getting back on track to finish the story. He could just compete in a tournament. He could just compete in a tournament. He could be back on track no matter what. So, again, Cody Rhodes is going for Roman Reigns. That is the plan. I don't care what people are trying to feed you. Even Drew McIntyre. Who knows? Drew McIntyre may end up on Raw this Monday. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, saying, oh, Drew's contract, he's likely, reportedly. You know, those LYs mean, I don't know. I think, I'm guessing, I don't know. So hold off, because Drew McIntyre shows back up on TV in the very near future. I want to see how people pull out his look. Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. That was the match that a whole bunch of places have been reporting for the last week. That was the match at Night of Champions. And they had to pull that. That rumor got killed yesterday with Triple H's press conference announcement. You're going to have a wrestler from Raw taking on a wrestler from SmackDown. And who knows? That wrestler from SmackDown might be a choice of Saudi Arabia. And again, $50 million is involved. $50 million. Maybe it's Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. Could be Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. I mean, Brock Lesnar could show up on SmackDown this Friday, this coming Friday, win the whole fucking thing, and then it's Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. And you don't think that there would be people out there that you don't think that people wouldn't be like, nah, there's no way Brock Lesnar's going to become heavy. Yeah, people be like, oh, no, here it comes again. Oh, God, I'm going to have an aneurysm. Oh, fuck, they're going to put the belt back on Brock Lesnar. Oh, fuck, there's a... Oh, you can you wait the triggered people if Brock Lesnar wins the SmackDown side of it next week? Could be Edge. That's another one, Edge. So why are people complaining? Seriously, we know what the draft is. We know what Raw and SmackDown is. We know what the WWE is. I want to be entertained. I don't give a fuck if it's a little bit laxed here and there. Am I supposed to say, I'm not watching ever again? No, 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 no. What? Have a Snickers. Have a Snickers. It's not a big deal. We're getting good shit out of it. All right. So that's the deal. Who's your favorites? You're welcome to post it in the comment section. I'd love to know who you think is going to be the final match. I'd love to do a contest with it. Problem is, Raw is in 2 days, so there's not enough time. I wish Triple H would have made this announcement a week in advance. Then we probably could have had a little bit more fun with it. But, hey, by Monday night, we will know who will be the participant with Raw. And I think it's got to be Seth Rollins. I don't think there's anything, you know, I don't think there's any dispute for that. Neil Ray. What's up, Neil? Wow, thank you, Neil, for the gigantic 50 spot, brother. Value for value, DT. I hope you, your wife, and your family are doing well. Much appreciated, Neil. Thank you. I didn't watch SmackDown last night. Hope I could catch up today. I love the new heavyweight title. It's a blend of old school and new school. I want Cena to come back for a final run for the title. Listen, with the return of a second championship, and I know for a lot of us, it's technically a third championship. It now opens up opportunity. Roman Reigns, did you notice the last week that people are saying exactly what you and I talked about a week ago? I'm not saying that, you know, we're smart and then now they're only picking up, but people are starting to notice it with WWE. People are now starting to compare Roman Reigns to Brock Lesnar. People are like, wow, suddenly Roman Reigns hardly ever appears. You know, WrestleMania was 5 weeks ago, and yes, Roman Reigns will be on the show next week. Roman Reigns returns. Oh, that didn't look good. Roman Reigns returns next week. And who knows, maybe he ends up in the tournament. The tournament. So, I like, you know, the idea of doing this championship. It opens up the opportunity for someone else to be champion, and the focus is not on... Listen, I think we could all agree, the big change right now that is going to be happening in a couple of weeks is that Roman Reigns will no longer share... Well, he will be forced to share the championship spotlight with someone else. Roman Reigns will no longer be the tribal chief of the entire company. He will not have the stranglehold of having all of the titles, the heavyweight titles for Raw and SmackDown, and he controls everything. Now Roman Reigns will have to split that, you know, that exposure as being heavyweight champion with someone else. So technically, WrestleMania was the pinnacle, the final, the peak of Roman Reigns as undisputed WWE Universal Champion, because over the last month, he has done nothing. And now over the last month, they have announced a new championship. Over the last month, Triple H has made that Brock Lesnar-like remark that Roman Reigns has negotiated his contract to hardly defend the title. That's Brock Lesnar all over again. And now Brock Lesnar, you know, who knows, again, what happens with him. But Roman Reigns slowly turning into Brock Lesnar a little bit, he is no longer going to have that spotlight just to himself. And that's the big difference. That opens up opportunities for others. Bobby Lashley, in the near future, could become heavyweight champion once again. You know, Seth Rollins, we already know. Cody Rhodes eventually. And then after it's Cody Rhodes, then we got to see. You know, and here's a little bit of a problem. Here's a little bit of a problem that I think a lot of people have not thought about yet. And something to think about. Roman Reigns having such a long title reign. Anybody that becomes heavyweight champion and holds the belt only for a couple of months, people are not going to be happy with it. Like, imagine Roman Reigns having over 1,000 days and then someone else has 150. 150 is 5 months, friends. 150 sounds like nothing. Now, what happens when Cody Rhodes becomes champion, dethrones Roman? What happens if Seth Rollins wins the World Heavyweight Championship? How long do their reigns have to be? So when they lose the championship to someone else, that you feel they had a respectable run. See, WWE's kind of put themselves in a pretty bad situation. If you think, well, I shouldn't say bad. It's a complicated situation because now you almost feel like Seth's got to keep the title for at least a year or 9 months. Cody Rhodes, if he loses the title in a couple of months, that's true dusty. You know, like, that would be a massive disappointment. This year-long build, and he only had the belt for 4 months. That's a big problem. That is a big problem. But, you know, John Cena, as you said, I think John Cena will have one last run as heavyweight champion. I don't think it'll be for a few years. But as long as John Cena, you know, wrestles on occasion, very, very rarely, and keeps himself in good physical condition. I mean, John Cena is not in his 50s. You know what I'm saying? So John Cena 5 years from now, 7 years from now, you know, I mean, he's going to have to do something with his hair. I think we all agree, you know, something is going to come. I think he's going to get the hair weave. I think people forget how many people in wrestling who have gotten hair jobs. You know, we were just talking about Chavito 2 weeks ago. I think Chavo is one of the people that had that hair club for men thing like a long time ago. Tommy Dreamer got it. A lot of wrestlers have gotten the hair treatment. I think the only reason why Cena may not have received it yet is because he's too busy. He's active. And in Hollywood, you know, makeup, you know, they could make you, fuck, they could put an afro on him and it'll look original. You know, they could give him fucking dreads. You know, they could do anything. They could give him a mullet and it'll look like he grew it. So he's just too active right now to basically sit on the sidelines for about 2 months and get the hair plants. So Hogan never got the hair job yet. No, Hogan was too extreme, man. That would have been way too extreme. I mean, when he was doing, was it Thunder in Paradise? Oh, no, it was the Three Ninjas or some ninja movie, and he had, like, the full hair, and it looked weird, man. It looked very weird. And it kind of looked like a mullet as well. So I remember he was on WCW TV a couple of times with that hair job. But I like the new heavyweight championship look, Neil. I think it looks beautiful. I mean, you really look at it. Whoever's going to wear it is going to wear it proud. And again, I think it's Seth Rollins' championship to lose. I just wish people would just sit back, enjoy the ride. We're getting good wrestling coming out of it. And, you know, once the championship is crowned, that's the end of it. So, but thank you again, Neil, for your generosity. That is very much appreciated. And it definitely will go to good use. So thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. I see Big Sal with a 5-spot. DT, what will happen if a SmackDown star wins the World Heavyweight title at Night of Champions? Do they just move to Raw? All right. That's the hypothetical what if. Thank you for the 5-spot, brother. There's no way a SmackDown wrestler is going to win this championship. God forbid Brock Lesnar, as a free agent, wins the championship and is officially moved to Raw. Would they take someone and move them to SmackDown? Now, in the case of Brock Lesnar, I say no, because Brock Lesnar is technically not a SmackDown star. But let's use a hypothetical for a minute. Let's just use a hypothetical. Let's say AJ Styles wins the championship. Let's say LA Knight wins the championship. Let's say Roman Reigns wins that championship. Those three are SmackDown stars. And if they were forced to be moved to Raw because they're the Raw World Heavyweight Champion, then that means somebody will probably go to SmackDown. But again, in my opinion, there is 0% chance of a SmackDown star winning this World Heavyweight Championship. It's got to be Seth Rollins. I don't think there's any dispute. That's why, technically, I like in some way that they're allowing some SmackDown stars. Because when you look at Raw, the only match that I would love to see go down at Night of Champions for that championship would be Seth Rollins versus Gunther. I think Gunther will be defending his Intercontinental Championship at Night of Champions. I don't know against who yet, but I believe that Gunther will be defending that championship. So I don't believe Gunther would be in the running. Gunther being in the triple threat matches on Raw this Monday, oh yeah, that's a possibility. Absolutely, that could happen. Look, here's another one from SmackDown, Sheamus. Some people, I think, would probably dig Seth Rollins versus Sheamus at Night of Champions. But again, I don't think there's any chance whatsoever of somebody on SmackDown winning the World Heavyweight Championship and then being moved to Raw. I even would say, you know, not only would that just be a little bit too ridiculous, but still, Seth Rollins, you know, he's quietly, you know, I don't want to say finishing the story, but he's quietly on the chase as well. It's not just Cody Rhodes. It's Seth Rollins, too. Seth Rollins, remember the interview with Ariel Helwani? Remember some of the frustrations about Roman Reigns? You know, there's a respect there and a friendship, but there's still also professional competition. And Seth Rollins is going to make that championship feel, and in some ways, more important than Roman Reigns' championship. I'm telling you. So I don't think there's any chance, Sal, that somebody from SmackDown wins that title. But if that ever did happen, you probably would send somebody from Raw to SmackDown. So, and I don't think Cody Rhodes being traded to SmackDown would be this quick. That would be awfully freaking quick. Wouldn't that be something if Cody Rhodes beats Brock Lesnar at Backlash, and then over the next 2-3 weeks, Cody Rhodes somehow gets traded to SmackDown, and Cody Rhodes faces Roman Reigns at Night of Champions on his 1,000th day as champion. I think that's probably too far-fetched, but remember, Saudi Arabia, $50 million, anything could happen. Omos is world heavyweight champion? Not yet. Omos, they're taking their time with. There's a lot of people within WWE that are really, really supportive of Omos. You know, you just quietly see and you hear little remarks in wrestling. Like, there's not anybody that I could think of in the wrestling business that has crapped on Omos. That's a good dude, man. I don't think there's any reason to rush him. Down the line, sure. Sure, you could do it. I think it's not that long ago, but remember when Omos and AJ Styles were tag champs? That's an oddball team when you look back on it. You know, but Omos, a little too soon. A little too soon. All right. Couple other things I want to get into. I'll just let you all know in case you're not aware of it. A little disturbing tidbit. Remember this winner? Yeah, I was going to post the full body picture of this? Because when you see the full body picture and he's sitting on a chair and he's got the handcuffs in his hand and he looks like frail and his arms are like thinner than, you know, like these air freshener things or whatever, these oil things. Like you look at him like, oh, he looks so innocent, so small. He looks, you know, he's got some mental issues. You know, we feel bad for him. You know, it's just, you got to feel a little sympathetic. No, you are a fucking attempted kidnapper. That guy, if he would have saw Mandy Rose, that's the thing that scares the shit out of me more than anything. Think about Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose at that time. And then you say to yourself, he was so obsessed with Sonya Deville. Could you imagine when he realized that Mandy Rose would be in the same house as well? Oh, Jesus Christ. You go back at that time, it really puts it in perspective. Well, this guy, Philip Thomas, has been found guilty of attempted kidnapping. 15 years in jail plus 15 years probation. Now, there's a little bit of a scary point of this that I got to share with you. Very, very scary. Something I think a lot of people have not thought about. First of all, Sonya Deville issued a statement about his being found guilty. She said, and I quote, "Thank you to everyone who's reached out today. After almost 3 years, we have finally got some closure last week. I am happy and healthy and have amazing people by my side. To say it's over feels odd, but I am beyond grateful for the support and help I've received over the past 3 years. From HCSO, Tampa Police Department, everyone in the courts, attorneys, friends, security, and so many more, I have a lot to say pertaining to the situation, which I feel can help a lot of people in similar situations now that the legalities are over. But for now, thank you." Now, here's the disturbing part about all of this that you have to think about in the back of your mind. He's got a 15-year jail sentence. Now, if he is on good behavior, if he does not pose a risk, if it comes off more that it was just mentally ill, and he is, you know, healed, improved, and showed that, you know, that he has made a crazy, tremendous mistake and can be brought into society, he could be released after 7.5 years. Let me go one step further. He's been in jail for 3+ years already. So this guy can be out of jail in about 3.5 years, about 4 years from now. Think about that. A little over than 4 years from now, this guy could be back out on the streets. 4 years goes like that. We're almost 4 years removed from the kidnapping incident. Just think about that for a minute. Just something you got to keep in the back of your mind that I'm sure Sonya Deville is fully aware of. That 15 years plus 15 probation. The 15 probation was very, very smart to do. Because 15 years probation is 15 years probation. You don't get time cut off for that. But if this guy proves to the justice system that he has recovered, healed, you know, and can be put back in society 4 years. 4 years from now. That's scary shit, man. So 15 years, that is a heavy jail sentence. And listen, be prepared. 3.5 years from now, when this guy is up for parole, about 3.5 years from now, this is when you're going to have Sonya Deville and everybody out there making statements as to why he shouldn't be released. So if you're going to ask me, my gut feeling is he will not be released anytime soon. I think he might serve minimum 10 years of that 15-year sentence. But I think he will be denied parole a few times before. But just something to think about. So, because you know what's going to happen. In about 3.5-4 years from now, there's going to be news that, you know, Phil Thomas is going to be reviewed for parole, and you're going to have everybody online, oh, dude, it's 15 years. Wait. Whoa, it's 15 years. Think about it. So, I see that Mr. Neil Ray, did you hit the lottery? I feel like I did. Thank you, Neil, for another 50 spot. I appreciate it very, very much. You know, it really, really helps a lot. You know, it's changing the shows and tweaking things is not something that I want to do. You know, but at the end of the time, at the end of the day, when it comes to health, when it comes to my private life, when it comes to bills, you know, you got to maximize. Shit, just so you all know, you know, I announced that next Wednesday I'm going to be live in Discord for Wednesday Night Dynamite. You're all welcome to join me on Discord. In the community section right now on YouTube, there is a link where you could join my Discord. We will have moderators, so no funny stuff. But, you know, the idea is that some Wednesdays will be live and we'll do Discord audio. And I already know of three podcasters who have now set up Discords that they're going to do Discords on Wednesday night. I kid you not. It's that's how cutthroat people are right now. But listen, as long as you all keep supporting the shows and you keep coming here and, you know, checking out my shit, you know, then there's no reason for me to make drastic changes or anything like that. But thank you, Neil, again, for this. He says that he loves Roman Reigns, but his time has come to lose that title. On that note, Roman has done a lot for Neil, has made him feel proud and happy to be taking on a lot of responsibility, being head of the family, being there for people. His character personifies that. Listen, whether you would have sent me a 50 spot or 5 cents, I would tell you that what you said is spot on. I wouldn't probably kiss your ass as much right now, but no, that's the thing. You know, Roman Reigns, the end of his reign is the power going to his head. That's what it is. You get drunk with power. Roman Reigns has shown, you know, to be champion. He has defended it. Yes, I know what everybody's going to say. Oh, you know, how many times has Roman won clean without the Usos or without Solo? I get it. But when you look at over the years, when you think about Ric Flair and you think about others, I mean, there's been countless times that they had assistance from others. At the end of the day, Roman Reigns has established himself as a legitimate champion. Historic reign for today's standards. And hitting 1,000 days, I mean, I agree. We are at the final chapter of Roman Reigns' reign. We are getting pretty much the final chapter now. Nobody in a million years, you would have told me 5 years ago that Roman Reigns would become heavyweight champion again, I would believe you. But if you said to me that Roman 5 years from now would be heavyweight champion, not only would he be undisputed champion for both brands, but he will hold the title for more than 1,000 days and you will love it, I'd be like, give me some of the shit that you're taking, man. How would you, does anybody, I mean, you think about, it's not that long ago when The Rock was holding Roman Reigns' hand and he was like, what the fuck is going on with this crowd? I mean, and Roman with that goofy smirk on his face with a little bit of blood, like Roman has got that look on his face that he's smiling. He's like, wow, I kind of like want to boo myself. You would have told me 5 years later we would be here. I mean, that's fucking nuts. And again, blame some of this on COVID. And I say that in a positive way. There's not much to be happy with going back to COVID, you know, but COVID is one of the biggest reasons why it got to this point, because he was allowed week in and week out and week in and week out to do whatever he needed to do out there. And there was no live fans audio-wise in the buildings, in the arenas, live crowds, live TV. You had Thunderdome. I mean, you know, I know all about that. But they dictated what they wanted to do. And that's something, that's an opportunity Roman Reigns got. No one else gets that, man. It's COVID that allowed Roman Reigns to become the tribal chief. When there was no live fans in attendance, that gave Roman Reigns such a handicap. You know, when you play golf or you play bowling, sometimes they give you a handicap. They'll add 30 pins. When I used to go to school before I got better in bowling, they would be handicapped. And I would go and I would play and I would look like, hey, I got 45 pins. I didn't even play the game yet. And then somebody educated me very early on. That's because you suck. You know, so getting a handicap, not many people get that. Roman Reigns got a crazy ass. You look at the early days and you look at right around the time with Jey Uso with that empty cage. And you heard everything, all that verbiage, the emotion, the way they played that out. You would have never gotten that. Even if they had live crowds and did an empty arena, you would have never gotten that for so long. So, believe it or I tell you, when we look back as time goes further by, and I even think in reflection, whether it's Paul Heyman that says it, Roman Reigns that says it, or somebody else, you know, I'm talking about years from now. There's no doubt in my mind that the COVID situation is arguably the biggest reason why Roman Reigns was given the opportunity to become the tribal chief. Because before that, those live fans, remember, they were putting him against Brock. They were putting him against baby faces. They were putting him against heels. They were putting him against Corbin. There was a time that I'm sure all of you remember that they were putting all these heels up against Roman. Kevin Owens, when he was a heel, they put so many people up against Roman trying to get AJ Styles at the time. They were trying to find somebody that the crowd would cheer Roman, like dominantly, and nobody. They couldn't find anybody. They tried so much and they failed. And in a lot of cases, they failed miserably. So Roman Reigns has earned everything that he has gotten. And the fact that in this current age, we allow 1,000 days. Now, there's complaints because of how they handled Cody at WrestleMania. That's the reason why. If Cody still, injury-wise, wasn't ready for WrestleMania, I think there would have been a lot of people who'd be like, you know what, you know, give it to Seth Rollins, or if Seth Rollins couldn't do it for any reason, I could see a lot of people saying, you know, let Roman hold it for a little bit longer. You got people now that are trying to tell you that Roman's going to hold it for 1,500 days. He's going to pass Hogan. He ain't passing Hogan. He's not passing Hogan. Not because I like Hogan. He's not passing Hogan. It's just people are putting it out there because, well, since we're at 1,000 days, let's just go to 1,400 days. It's like, oh, AEW sold 60,000 tickets, so they should just book 100,000-seat arenas overseas from now on. Why doesn't WWE just book 800,000-seat arenas going forward? We could get 1 million. 1 million fans. You know, let's not get a little bit exaggerated here. Austin is spitting facts. This is by far the best version of Roman, but it's going to be time soon. Well, no. We will still get a great Roman Reigns, even if he does lose this championship. It'll just go on a different level. We'll see if Roman goes against the Usos. We'll see. Listen, when Roman Reigns finally loses these championships, Roman Reigns will be defeatable. But it's the way they do it. Let me put it like this. I don't remember there's movies that have done this. Maybe I'll give major props to anybody in the chat that could give me a good example. We have seen, I know one. Wasn't it Will Smith with, it wasn't Will Smith. Who was this guy with the Fresh Prince? Who's the other guy that shot the hoop? Somebody shot the hoop and it was in slow motion. And if he got the hoop, he would have won the game. And as soon as he hit an air ball, everybody left the building. Was it that? Or am I thinking of Al Bundy with Bud Bundy? Did Bud shoot the hoop and missed? And he offered him like Skittles or Carlton? It was one of those two. People are saying Carlton Banks. It might have been both. But my point is that as soon as they missed, everybody in the building left. When Roman loses, not everybody in the building is going to leave. This is just a different chapter. It's going to be a new book. And we'll see where it goes. Roman will feud with some people you probably wouldn't expect him to feud with. You know, when people are talking about, oh, this person should fight him for the championship, this person. No, because you already know the outcome. But now if LA Knight goes up against Roman Reigns and there's no longer a championship involved, well, guess what? There's a possibility that he could lose. You know, you go back to The Rock back in the day. When The Rock was heavyweight champion, people were fantasizing about people taking him on. And it never happened because he was champion. There was no way he was losing that belt. Once he lost the championship, then you had some wrestlers have a couple of upsets on The Rock. And it didn't hurt The Rock's career at all. Didn't hurt The Rock's career at all. Thank you, Neil. Neil just gifted a membership for the DT show. So I don't know how those work. I think somebody randomly, or maybe you pick the person that gets it, but that's cool of you. Thank you very much, Neil. All right. So let's move on from some Roman Reigns. For those who live in Canada, WWE has a tour coming up in August in Canada. They already announced August 11th for SmackDown at the Saddle Dome in Calgary. August 14th, Raw at the Canada Life Center in Winnipeg. And Friday, August 18th, in SmackDown at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. They have just added three more events to that Canada tour. They're going to do a super show August 19th, which is a Saturday, at the Canadian Tire Center in Ottawa. Sunday, August 20th, will be another super show in Place Belle in Laval, Quebec. And Monday, August 21st, Raw will be at the Centre Vidéotron in Quebec City. So if you live in Canada, you know, you have the opportunity, quite a few opportunities, to check out WWE. By the way, yesterday at SmackDown, I wish I could show it on full screen, but how awesome was the drone that they did? I thought this was fucking great. I mean, this was the opening on SmackDown, and unfortunately, I can't show the whole thing, but they just, this is, I don't care if I get hit with copyright this time. They did this fucking drone all the way from outside back into the building. Yesterday SmackDown, let me tell you something. Yesterday SmackDown was one of my favorites in recent memory. We've had some pretty damn good SmackDowns lately. But this one was just tremendous, man. They just did that from outside all the way into the arena. That is some good shit. Listen, you know, a few people have posted this, and I think it's an awesome idea. AEW, when they do Wembley, they should do the lighted bands, because you got 70, 80, 90,000 fans, and they all get these lighted wristbands, and that would be an amazing view. Here's the thing, though, why I don't know if they're going to do it. A lot of you have been asking me, DT, is All In going to be a pay-per-view? And when does it start? Well, I'm trying to get that answer. But as of right now, All In is not a scheduled pay-per-view, because I believe the following week is All Out, and that's a pay-per-view. However, I'm sure you all know about the Warner Brothers Discovery deal with AEW. YouTube, no more for the AEW programming. Yesterday on Rampage, they had the final deletion, which was fun on TV, but the commercials killed it. They have a 21-minute full version of it that was heavily edited for TV purposes yesterday. You can't watch the 21-minute full video unless you go to Bleacher Report. So this is how hardcore, and this is something that people really aren't talking about as much. AEW is putting no more YouTube content. They can't even put the final deletion on YouTube. It's got to be on Bleacher Report. Why am I saying all of this? Well, because AEW All In, 90,000 people, 80,000 people, 70,000, whatever it's going to be, and it's not a pay-per-view. It's got to air somewhere. They're not doing this just for all of us. Could be like looking, you know, like a little kid with the bakery and the bakery door is closed. Too late, you missed, and you smell the cookies and your nose is against the glass, like pushed against the glass, and you're breathing and you get the fog. We'll all be online, like against the glass, like, I want to see what happened. Hoping that someone has like a good iPhone with like 9,000 gigabytes of storage. It's going to air. Some people think HBO Max. Some people think, you know, but it's going to be part of the Warner Brothers Discovery stuff. But as far as the Light of Bands thing, you know why I don't know if it's going to happen? I was told that AEW All In, that the start time might be 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, 6 o'clock in the evening. And if that happens, there is a good chance that All In ends before it gets dark. I'm not kidding. If it airs at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that event's going to be over by 7 or 8. So it might not even be fully dark yet. You know, we're going to be right smack in the summertime. So that, and look, that means here in New York, the show would start around 11 a.m. So it's, you know, it's an interesting situation. I kind of compare, to be honest with you, I compare All In to WWE in Saudi Arabia. I'm not talking about politics or government or blood money versus, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that this is going to be like an international event. Wrestling fans from afar are getting to see something that they've only been able to experience on TV, finally coming to their hometown, and we get the time difference and everything else. To me, this is AEW's Saudi Arabia event. And that's not a knock. That's not a complaint at all. So, all right. But the final deletion yesterday, it's definitely something you want to check out. If you have access to Bleacher Report, check it out. It was a lot of fun, man. The interaction with King Maxell and Stokely Hathaway, some of the funniest shit. I mean, look, heavily edited, the commercials brutalized it, but that match was a lot of fun yesterday. I will be watching Rampage today. So I'll give my quick thoughts about it on Monday. SmackDown yesterday, they opened up with the drone, and I thought it was tremendous. Let's get something out of the way, and then we'll do some quick SmackDown results. The end of SmackDown, we had a mixed tag match. Rey Mysterio and Zelina Vega defeating Dominic Mysterio, Rhea Ripley. Dominic continuing to get the incredible heel heat in Puerto Rico. In fact, there was, I wrote it down, Huele Bico? Huele Bico? I hope I'm saying it right. For my Spaniards out there, for my Puerto Ricans, for my Latino friends out there, am I saying it right? Huele Bico? Huele Bico? So now I know if I go to buy fajitas and I'm with my wife, and somebody in the place is like, hey, huele bico, huele bico. Would you like some huele bico with your chimichanga? During the Backlash press conference, you had Rhea and Dom on one side and Zelina and Rey on the other. And Dom's trying to talk and the crowd is killing him. And they start chanting huele bico. And Rhea Ripley's laughing her ass off because she probably had no idea what it meant. Zelina Vega looked like she was blushing. Rey Mysterio took the mic and went like this. Dominic said something in Spanish, which I don't know what it is, but apparently what that means is, for Dominic, you smell dick. I kid you not. They were going vicious on Dominic in Puerto Rico. Yesterday was no different. In fact, early on, when the LWO hit the ring, they opened up the show, and they're in the ring, and we see highlights from the press conference. Trust me, they didn't show the huele bico, but they're in the ring. Rey is speaking in English and in Spanish, hypes up Bad Bunny's match, Zelina Vega's match. Before Selena Vega could say anything, Judgment Day's music hits. They come out there. And, you know, I posted this to show everyone, but again, you know, unless it's their friends that point it out, like, everybody just doesn't give a shit. But did you see this yesterday when Dominic Mysterio walked to the ring, and while he's on a rampway, he sees a fan with an LWO shirt, and he grabs the shirt? You had to see how many people online, wow, Don, that's fucked up. WWE, give that fan a new shirt. I saw it fucking immediately, and I'm like, oh, come on, man. You all can't be that fucking stupid. So I posted it online for everybody to see, okay? If you look closely, Dominic is holding the shirt and showing it to everyone. But I don't know if I could zoom in, but you might be able to see it on the camera, but there is a giant slit on the top of the shirt right here. And Dominic is actually looks for the slit. You'll see it very, very closely. Watch when I hit play. Watch when he looks close. Watch. See it? There's a slit. Now, if you go to my Twitter at DonTonyD, you'll see a close-up of it. But there's a slit right in the middle of the shirt. And what does he do? I'll show you. He takes the slit. Look, let me find it. Yeah, there's the slit. You could see right under the logo, it's cut. So he made Hulk Hogan look like a cripple. He just tears it like nothing. Tears it like nothing. And everybody's like, oh, that's fucked up. Give the fan a shirt. It was a plant. So it was a big slit on it. But still, Dominic gets on the mic, and Dominic is getting eaten apart. Rhea Ripley loves it. Judgment Day loves it. Dominic Mysterio, biggest heel in WWE right now. I don't think there's any argument with that. And then just to top it all off, you know, why not? Let's cheap shot Dominic. Dominic cheap shots Ray and runs out of the ring. So that sets up a mixed tag match. Now, again, people still don't want to accept the fact that WWE's not going to have a male wrestler hit a female wrestler. Eventually, you may get a 619 to Rhea Ripley. That would be monumental. But again, Dominic wants to fight Ray. Ray wants to fight Dominic. WrestleMania rematch. Crowd wants it. We think we're getting it last night. Rhea gets in Ray's face like, how's about you fight me instead? Now, you know that's not happening. So then Ray proposes mixed tag. Rhea says, you're on. So we get the mixed tag for the main event. A fun match. We ended up getting Ray and Dominic going at it. I mean, that was the highlight. Zelina Vega, they got to be careful with because of the size difference and because Rhea Ripley, she is extremely dominant. They want to keep her dominant. But Rhea Ripley, if you watch closely with her work with Zelina Vega, Rhea, it's misfires. You're like, put it this way. This is not a shot on Zelina Vega. If you took Zelina Vega and replaced her with Akira Tozawa, if you remember that match, that is a little bit of what sets up Zelina Vega's offense. The difference between Tozawa versus Rhea Ripley and Zelina Vega versus Rhea Ripley is that Tozawa was never allowed to start punching and kicking and do meteoras and this and that. He just had to let Rhea Ripley, like, hurt herself, run into the corner, and he runs out of the way, and she hits the post. And I think he hit a Huracanrana once. But Zelina Vega, they have to be very, very careful with. So they start brawling on the outside yesterday. Zelina crashes Rhea Ripley into the barricade. Ray with a 619 on Dominic. We get a little bit of Finn Balor interference. And then Dominic gets a little too cocky, gets the upper hand, starts trying to do the Three Amigos. Before he gets to number three, Rey Mysterio rolls him up and pins him. So we had a fruit roll-up for the win. After the match is over, we get a post-match beatdown. Damian Priest hits the ring to get involved as well. And you know what's going to happen. We're going to get the save from Bad Bunny. What everybody was talking about yesterday was the choice of jacket that Bad Bunny wore. If you didn't see it yesterday, he actually wore a WWF scratch logo racing jacket from the 1990s. Hit the ring because it was live. And because he's Bad Money, when he's in the gorilla position, Triple H, nobody was going to say, no, you cannot wear that. We have a lawsuit. We, the World Wildlife Fund, you cannot wear that. Bad Bunny's like, oh, fuck you. I wear it to the ring. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't speak English. He runs to the ring, makes the save. That jacket is a pretty hot jacket, man. And I don't just mean temperature-wise. That was a pretty awesome jacket. Bad Bunny tossed it into the crowd. Somebody that got that jacket yesterday probably going to make about $400 or $500 on eBay, maybe even more. For those that are interested, yes, you can still buy this jacket. It is on eBay. Be prepared at a minimum to pay $400 to $500 for that jacket. It is a cool jacket from the 90s, no question. It is available. And look, some people who had it stored in their closets put an eBay auction up now. Give me $1,000. Give me $800. No joke. Back, some of you will remember this, back in the early to mid-2000s, probably mid to 2000s, when WWE closed up WWF New York, okay, a lot of their stuff popped up on eBay because WWE, when they were closing up WWF New York, they were selling everything in the place, from menus to napkins to memorabilia to this, and that. When they lost the lawsuit to the World Wildlife Fund, and then they got the F out, and the WWF became WWFE for a short period of time, World Wrestling Federation Entertainment, they realized quickly they can't keep that because it sucks as a chant on top of it. You know, nobody used to chant WWF, WWF. Do you remember that? No. Even in the 80s and the 90s, even when they started doing Attitude Era, none of us were going WWF, WWF. And still even today, they don't go WWE. But no one was going to chant WWFE unless you got creative and you had one side of the building going WWF and then you had the other side of the building going E. So you'd have WWFE, WWFE, trying to make a chant out of nothing. But Nishid hit eBay. At that time, I made a big mistake. I didn't rack up on all this stuff. You could buy stuff from WWF New York. You could buy the racing jackets. Anything with WWF New York or the WWF scratch logo was almost nothing. You could buy shirts for $5, jackets for $20, something that was selling for $100, $150 because it wasn't worth anything to a lot of people. Now you see these things pop up and it is 10 times what it used to be. When we see like things like this, I still have it on my desk. This is, look, it's still brand new from WCW when it went out of business. This is there. Look at this. Who the fuck came up with this with Sting? But you see something like this, you if you look closely, you could go on eBay and find shit for very, very, very cheap. I mean, this is not cheap, but you could still find stuff. But the big items now, like the wrestling jackets, ECW shirts, an original ECW shirt that probably has armpit smell, people are selling them $50, $60, and they're getting it. And they're getting it. So, yes, I do remember the Nitro Grill in Las Vegas. Not too long ago, somebody was selling something from Pasta Mania. When Hogan had the pasta store, I think it was an original menu from Pasta Mania. So it was on eBay. If you'd go to completed auctions, you could see it. But that's the jacket that Bad Bunny was wearing yesterday on SmackDown. But he made the save. Listen, you know, look at Damian Priest and Bad Bunny next to each other. Bad Bunny's not as small as some people think. There's only a couple of inches difference. Especially when you realize that Damian Priest is wearing boots. Bad Bunny was wearing shoes. They're not as much of a height difference as you think. You know, that's one thing that I am noticing, even with the press conference. I mean, it looked a little intimidating, but if you actually check them out, they're only a couple of inches apart. They're not that much of a difference. Bad Bunny, I think because he's not a wrestler, You know, like when he first came in, I think a lot of us looked at him like, listen, I'm not going to lie. I never listened to Bad Bunny music. I didn't really know who he was a couple of years ago. They see this guy, I'm like, who is this little Latino shrimp? I quickly learned who he was. Now, you know, I'm fine with him. He's cool, definitely cool. In fact, he's this much of a wrestling fan and doesn't need to do this and puts that much effort into it. That's pretty fucking awesome. So Bad Bunny showing up yesterday, making a save. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this match goes down tonight. But, yeah, we'll definitely talk about it on Sunday. So a couple other things from SmackDown yesterday. You know, again, I think some people forgot that some wrestlers were being moved to Raw. We had an excellent match yesterday between Shinsuke Nakamura and Karrion Kross. I mean, they really, really killed it. And it sucks that it's a one and done for those two guys. But Shinsuke Nakamura did end up getting the upper hand. You had Scarlett interfere a few times. Kross broke free of the Kinshasa, hit him with Doomsday. Just back and forth, really, really physical. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago that, you know, this is the match that we were expecting to get. And this was fucking stiff. But in the end, Kross set up Nakamura for the crosshammer. Nakamura ducks, hits a pair of kicks in the Kinshasa, for the win. And a lot of people online were really complaining about Karrion Kross getting the loss. You know, Nakamura is the one going to SmackDown, and Nakamura is the one that they're going to feature a little bit. And listen, Nakamura is going to probably be in these three-way matches on Raw for the tournament. So they decided to have Nakamura go over on Karrion Kross. I didn't think that was a big, big deal. Karrion Kross showed yesterday, I mean, we already know he could go, but that match yesterday, and the crowd was into it. The crowd was into everything yesterday, but they were really, really into this match. And they put on a damn good performance, and I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. The Viking Raiders versus AJ Styles, you know, that's got a different vibe about it. Now, the OC, they're going to feature a little bit more predominantly now with AJ Styles back. AJ Styles probably going to be in the three-way dances as well next Friday. You know, and that's good because AJ Styles is still not 100%, so they got to be a little bit careful with him. But remember, you know, Saudi Arabia is not for another 3 weeks. So, you know, three more weeks of recovery and rehab helps AJ Styles. So, you know, everything will be good. But the vibe with the Viking Raiders is the opposite. They lost to the OC yesterday. Magic Killer on Eric. At one point, Valhalla got into AJ Styles' face, who was doing commentary at ringside. A lot of people were pointing out to me last night, like, oh, they used the red colors for AJ Styles' name. I didn't think that was that big of a deal. Maybe because he's not officially a SmackDown guy yet. Maybe that's why they used the red colors. But, you know, again, he sold it, just like Seth Rollins sold it. Seth Rollins sold me in the last two Raws that this World Heavyweight Championship is not going to be a pity title, that he is planning on winning it and making that title bigger and better than anything that Roman Reigns is doing. And yeah, that happens. It's not a pity title anymore. So Seth has sold me, but AJ sold me yesterday too, as I said at the beginning of the show. You know, that's a prize. That's a championship. Why would somebody on SmackDown not want to try to win that, if you really think about it? So AJ Styles sold me as well. So AJ Styles is probably going to be in that tournament. But unfortunately, the Viking Raiders, you know, not very impressive yesterday. Valhalla tries to get into AJ's face. Meechan kicks her, knocks her out pretty much. And then OC with the Magic Killer on Eric for the win. Later on, there was a lot of complaints from fans online as well. But I think, again, you got to use the same mentality with Karrion Kross versus Nakamura. Imperium. minus Gunther. Gunther was not on. Imperium, Giovanni Vinci, and Ludwig Kaiser, they lost to the Street Profits. They lost in about 4 minutes. And Giovanni Vinci ate a frog splash. A lot of people were complaining, like, wow, you know, Imperium, not impressive unless Gunther's around. You know, like, you look at Legado del Fantasma, and Legado is perfect. Legado should be Legado Zero. They have no Zelina Vega. Think about it. Even last night's SmackDown, it adds to what I've said the last couple of weeks. Zelina Vega has a better record since being in the LWO than Legado del Fantasma. It's not a joke. I think, what, Santos and his tag team partner, Joaquin Wild and Cruz del Toro, go look at their record since the LWO formed. You'd be shocked. As far as Imperium losing yesterday, this is simply a case that Imperium are going to Raw. It's a SmackDown show. The Street Profits are now going to be heavily featured on SmackDown with Bianca going to SmackDown. So they wanted Street Profits to show that they are going to be big people, you know, big names and a big push on SmackDown. If it was Raw, you might have seen the opposite. But this was a SmackDown match. I had no issues. No issues with Imperium losing yesterday. Something you all got to keep in the back of your mind. This might affect your predictions for anybody that hasn't done the contest yet that we're doing on Patreon and for channel members here. Bianca Belair. Yesterday, something was very interesting that I can't believe yours truly did not pick up on it. I'm not going to lie to you. I was shocked when she made a claim yesterday. And I went and I checked it and I'm like, holy shit, she's actually right. Yesterday, Bianca Belair cut a promo about her match against Io Sky. And before I tell you the startling little tidbit that you got to keep in the back of your mind, after she cuts a promo, Bayley comes out, and she's talking about how Io's going to take the title, and her and Dakota Kai, they think they want the tag titles. So yeah, they're getting a championship rematch. Well, championship match next week on SmackDown. Damage Control versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, who are Raw wrestlers. Am I right about that? Did anybody say anything yesterday? Did I just pick up on something that nobody saw yesterday? Wait a minute. Yeah, even though they're Raw wrestlers, they're the women's champion for the... so they could show up on both brands. Why didn't anybody make a big deal about that yesterday? Again, it's all about perception. It's all about perception. But check this out. After Bianca cuts a promo, Damage Control comes out. Bayley's on the mic. Io's going to win at Backlash. Her and Dakota Kai are going to win the tag titles next week. They have a beatdown to Bianca Belair. They're saved. She's saved by Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. And that's the segment. But Bianca Belair yesterday made a claim that as of today, May 6th, 2023, Bianca Belair ties herself with the longest reigning women's championship in the modern era. Right now, she is tied for the longest reign of a women's championship in the modern era. And as of midnight tonight, she becomes the longest reigning women's champion, not named Fabulous Moolah, as far as WWE goes. If that doesn't give it away, in my opinion, nothing will. As of tonight, midnight, Bianca Belair holds the record. So on Monday, when Bianca now resets her reign as a SmackDown Women's Champion, and Rhea Ripley resets her reign as the Raw Women's Champion, doesn't matter anymore. Bianca Belair will be in the record books by one day of the longest reigning women's champion in the modern era. That's something that I think passed by a lot of people yesterday without thinking about. So now you could... listen, I don't like the title swapping, But now you get a sense as to why it's not as big of a deal as you think, because no matter what, Bianca Belair is now in the record books. She is now tied, and as of midnight tonight, if she wins, she will be the longest reign by one day. And then the title's reset. Just figured I'd point it out in case anybody wasn't aware of it. That caught my eye yesterday big. We had a video package of the NXT stars that are debuting. We had Cameron Grimes talking to Adam Pearce. Baron Corbin shows up. Corbin laughing at Grimes that he was drafted last. Grimes laughing at Corbin, you weren't drafted at all. Corbin is saying that I'm as much of a hot commodity as Brock Lesnar. Adam Pearce is like, that's not how I remember it in a draft. So they get into each other's face, and Baron Corbin will be doing the favors for Cameron Grimes next week on SmackDown. I don't like that Cameron Grimes is as groomed as he is. I know a lot of you out there are going to find that strange for me to say. You got to understand, you know, I go back before Daniel Bryan ever had the facial hair when he was still milk toast coming back from WWE. And I said on Don Tony and Kevin Castle, I said, I don't know. He's got to change his look. I think he needs like a whole bunch of facial hair. So he needs a change. Same thing with Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes has got a, you know, he looks like a boy. I mean, I don't mean that in a horrible way. He looks like a normal indie boy. Like at least Cameron Grimes back then had the hat. And I know he's going to go to the moon and the crowd's going to go with it as well. Something's too plain about Cameron Grimes, in my opinion. So I don't know if anybody feels the same, but I don't know. So I think that was pretty much your episode of SmackDown yesterday. I'm going through the matches. We only have four matches, but, you know, they definitely filled it the right way. I mean, the Bad Bunny stuff. Look, a lot of people think that Bad Bunny and Damian Priest are going to close out Backlash. I'm kind of leaning towards it. You feel like you're going to go off the air with Bad Bunny and the LWO and Rey Mysterio, you know, in the ring, just like they did on SmackDown yesterday. But personally, I would rather see Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar close Backlash. But I don't know. I feel like, you know what? It's Puerto Rico. That crowd would lose their shit if Bad Bunny main events against Damian Priest. And I think that would be pretty cool for Damian Priest as well. Because remember, it was something that we talked about a few times, and a lot of you echoed the same feelings. Damian Priest had no match at WrestleMania. So he gets the opportunity to main event a premium live event. You know, will it be like a Lawrence Taylor, Bam Bam Bigelow? You know, no. I mean, some people were like, oh, here's another celebrity that's going to, you know, make a WWE superstar job out. I don't see it that way. With the street fight, you know everybody and their mother's going to get involved. Dominic's getting involved, Finn Balor, LWO, everybody's getting involved tonight. So that might be the way to go out. Yes, Damian Priest is Puerto Rican, but it's still a cool move to give Damian Priest a main event spot for a premium live event. You know, no titles on the line, and even if Damian Priest loses, in my opinion, when we did predictions last week, I don't think he will lose any momentum whatsoever. If anything, Damian Priest has kind of elevated his game the last couple of months. I was very surprised at the lack of anger amongst the wrestling world that Damian Priest had no match at Mania. Everybody focused on Bobby Lashley. Almost nobody focused on Damian Priest. That kind of, you know, stuck out to me for a while. So anyway, we're going to start bringing this home. Definitely need to bring this home. Before we end this, talking a little bit about this really stupid, wacky, blurred lines about CM Punk and AEW, the latest nonsense. Ronda Rousey is going to be part of a new TV series on Fox. You might have caught the commercial during SmackDown. William Shatner, God bless that man, that he could still be as active at that age. You know, he's becoming the Betty White. I think William Shatner is now the heir apparent to Betty White. I think people know what I'm talking about when I say that. There's people out there, when they get to a certain age, it's like cherish that person at all costs. And he is now, I think, slowly replacing Betty White. And then once it's time for William Shatner to go, someone else will take his place. But they're going to do a new TV series on Fox. And it's called Stars on Mars. Honestly, this looks like a train wreck. I don't know how to fucking react to it. Ronda Rousey is part of it. It is an unscripted series. This is how Fox is advertising this. Fox announces that 12 fearless celebrities will pack their bags and prepare for launch to the red planet, Mars. As crew members on Stars on Mars, an out-of-this-world new unscripted series premiering Monday, June 5th, this summer, professional athletes, reality world megastars, triumphant entrepreneurs, renowned TV and film anchors, uproarious comedians, and trailblazing entertainers will colonize, compete, and conquer Mars. And I say that in parentheses because they're not really going to the planet, everyone. Until there is one victorious space invader who will claim the title of the brightest star in the galaxy. Celebrities will ditch their jerseys, business suits, and red carpet gowns for the ultimate attire, an astronaut suit. Once on Mars, the group of stars will receive interstellar assignments from legendary actor and Star Trek icon William Shatner, who serves as mission control. Colonizing Mars could be our future. Let's send them first. And the participants, they say former professional road racing cyclist and investor Lance Armstrong, they forgot, cheater, comedian, actress, and writer Natasha Leggero, hope I pronounced her name right, shows you that I don't follow her, former Super Bowl champion, community advocate, and entrepreneur Marshawn Lynch, widely known comedic actor Christopher Mintz Plasse, Olympic figure skater and TV personality Adam Rippon, professional wrestler and UFC champion, Olympic medalist, and actress Ronda Rousey, TV personality and restaurateur Tom Schwartz, sports analyst and professional football player Richard Sherman. Out of everybody, guys, I want to see Richard Sherman. I'm not kidding. Stars on Mars. I'm not trying to draw any shots for Tony Khan. He definitely, you know, was a little wacky with his Twitter war last week, but guy, give him props, you know, for the ticket sales and everything else. But this show just feels like something like if you were smoking with Tony Khan, like having a barbecue and just smoking some really good babanya. I could just picture, yo, could you imagine? What if TBS did this show like, you know, it could do Stars on Mars. Yo, we could like simulate Mars and they have to wear astronaut suits. And dude, could you just imagine them just like bouncing in the air with zero gravity? Dude. Tell me that doesn't like sound like something you would like come up with if you were high or drunk. And I don't condone getting high, but yeah, Ronda Rousey's an actress. Ronda's done some TV and you'd be surprised. She's not bad. I mean, I know a lot of us, well, a lot of you, I have no problem with her as a wrestler, but I know a lot of you out there are not really keen about Ronda Rousey and her wrestling repertoire. She's actually not bad as an actress. She's intimidating, man. She goes like this. You got to be careful. She ain't like meeting Roderick Strong in an alleyway where Roderick Strong's like, give me your money. No. Oh, come on. By the way, you know, I don't want to get into it now. We'll get into it Monday. But two things about ratings you want to know. First of all, Dynamite did not do a good rating. And the main event, the Four Pillars, I believe didn't even break 700,000 viewers. I don't remember what TV show Dave Meltzer brought up as an excuse for it. I got to pull it up because I'm just curious if any of you out there ever heard of this show before. Vanderpump Rules. AEW did 776,000. The demo stayed even, but viewers were well down with the sports and huge increase in the show called Vanderpump Rules. I have never come across anybody on my shows that ever said, you know, I'm not going to watch Dynamite tonight. Vanderpump Rules is on. What the fuck is Vanderpump Rules? I've never heard of it before, but that is a terrible rating. We'll talk about it on Wednesday a little bit more when we do talk about the all-in scapegoat. Anything that's bad, but all-in sold 60,000 tickets, 70, whatever it is. We'll talk about that Wednesday. Another little tidbit. I feel bad. I'm not kidding. I'm not even saying this to be funny. Trinity Fatu. Trinity Fatu was debuting this past Thursday on Impact Wrestling. Now, I've seen people with legitimate blue check marks, not Twitter blue like me, but I've seen people with legitimate blue check marks and people that I think are just trying to think, like, what can I write to get 1,000 likes that just sounds ridiculous, but people will pop for? I actually saw multiple people write that Trinity Fatu and Impact Wrestling can be the equivalent of Kurt Angle signing with TNA back in the day. Now, I think about not only ratings, I think about revenue, I think about the roster, and I think about what Kurt Angle did for TNA, and people are actually comparing that to Trinity Fatu. I have nothing against Trinity. Support her 100%. While everybody's got this weird, like, oh, there's a lot of people on the internet that should apologize for Trinity for blaming Mercedes for the reason. What the fuck are they talking about? Since day one, we've all said that Johnny Ace acted like a dick to Mercedes and Trinity, and they said, fuck you, we're leaving. We quit. Here's the titles. Well, fuck yourself. That's what happened. Why I was, I've read like 10,000 people. People owe Trinity an apology. For what? The people that do that are the ones that are usually the most guilty. Got to point the finger somewhere else. Just like with the AEW stuff. When creative sucks, all in. All in. Oh, look at the fuck they're doing with Hobbs. All in. 6,000 ticket sales. Oh, what the fuck are they doing with Jay White? What the fuck? What are we doing? All in. We'll talk about it Wednesday. Put real some people back down to, you know, to earth. But Trinity Fatu, this Thursday, she debuted on Impact. I don't know what the rating is yet, but I decided to pull up some of my old, you know, like outlets that I used to pay for to get ratings. And I put in a request for something. Hopefully I'll get it. Not only did Impact not break the top 150 this Thursday, their demo, okay? Now, you hear like AEW does demos like 0.19, SmackDown does 0.53. This past Thursday's Impact did not even get 0.03. Let's put that in perspective. If SmackDown gets 0.53, that is 26 times more demographic than Impact Wrestling. And we're not talking millions of people here. When you look at demos, the 18 to 49 demo for AEW this past Wednesday, it was only like 380,000 viewers. So when you realize Impact Wrestling did not even get, not 0.3, 0.03. It's either 0.02 or 0.01. The lowest you could get is 0.00. She generated almost no boost in the demographic. This goes, unfortunately, back to what I said when Bullet Club was fighting, when Jay White was fighting, when others were fighting in Impact Wrestling. People are like, oh my God, he's my favorite. He's the ultimate. When is he going to come to the United States? No, he's on Impact right now. Oh my God. Oh my, and I don't, they don't watch. Like, that's just terrible. You would have thought at minimum 10, 20, 50,000 fans. 50,000 fans. You know, not a million. We just, 50,000 fans to see what Trinity's debut and Impact. No, no, that's awful. That's awful. Okay. Let's wrap it up with this. I don't think we really need to spend a whole lot of time about it. Blurred lines, everybody. Yeah. See in the background, AEW Collision, blurred lines. CM Punk is seen on the left holding the microphone with the TNT logo. And on the right, CM Punk, same CM Punk, is holding a TBS logo. You confused yet? No, we're not doing that episode of Star Trek. What was that, Mirror Mirror? No, we're not doing Mirror Mirror. Okay. A lot of journalists out there have backed themselves in a ridiculously stupid corner. Do you remember the hard roster split that we ripped apart a couple of weeks ago? Hard roster split. Those that don't like CM Punk will be on Dynamite, and those who get along with CM Punk will be on Collision. Okay. First of all, keep in mind we're not dealing with 16-year-olds here. Keep in mind, this is not like the Twitter channel of Fight Haven where all you see is videos of teenagers like beating the fuck out of each other in the streets. We're talking about millionaires. We're talking about coddled, you know, men in 2023 that have to separate a company, segregate rosters. They have to do all the... Eat a fucking Snickers bar, Kenny Omega! Young Bucks, get laid. Do something. These fucking people are making it seem like somebody fucking got stabbed. That somebody fucking hit somebody in the mouth with a wrench, broke all their teeth. You imagine? There's no scissors. A fucking punch and a bite. And see, this is why I don't tweet anymore about stuff like this. Because I realize in 2023, people don't want the truth. People want to suspend themselves in this amazing disbelief. There's no way that podcasters with 400,000 viewers can be so fucking mentally deficient or the brain equivalent to a five-year-old that can't see the writing on the wall that this is happening. This ha- they know what the deal is. But if they just throw it out there, well, you're a fucking party pooper, and then everybody walks away. I don't feel like doing that here. I feel like just telling you straight up what's going on. So at least you're smart and intelligent enough to know what to expect. These journalists want to be part of the storyline. I don't want to name anybody specifically, but you know who they are. They want to be part of the storyline. Why report the news when you could be report the story when you could be part of the story? So when they're talking about segregation, imagine how CM Punk would feel, legitimately, that all these people in creative management don't like me, so they're giving me my own show to work there, no matter how much money he makes. It's not a healthy climate. This is like AEW All Access, the news version of it. So these morons have been blurring the lines for the last month about a hard split. Now, it's not so hard. Oh, my God. It's hard. It's not so hard. You said hard. Now listen to the latest insane nonsense. Okay? CM Punk will be the star of Collision for most weeks. Ah! Didn't we say 2 weeks ago that you think Warner Media, when Collision only draws 500,000, 600,000, on average, 450, 650, 750, and Dynamite could break a million, 1 million, 2 million. You think Warner Media is going to be like, no, 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 CM Punk, you could stay on Collision. No Dynamite. No, because if the ratings are disappointing in prime time, you think Tony Khan is just going to stroke somebody in Warner Media and wine and dine them? And then they say, oh, you could keep your, oh, never mind. You could keep your primetime slot. Do that. You draw 700,000 viewers, 600,000 viewers, 800,000 viewers, 850 on primetime. And Warner Media, multi-billion dollar company, that it's strictly business, if they at some point feel, you know what? Look, you know, these are a little bit disappointing numbers. We'll be all in. These are of course they're going to put CM Punk on Dynamite. Why are they going to sacrifice? Dynamite could be getting 1.3 million right now, but no, no, no. We'll keep him on SmackDown. I mean, we'll keep him on Collision on Saturday night. And because Saturday night's not the greatest time slot, if it gets 600,000 views, oh, so be it. That's just like when we said it made no sense for WWE to be sold to Saudi Arabia when they said it was. There's so many legal things that have to be done. It takes months. And everybody just, like, don't pay attention to that. So now they're reporting that the hard split is not so hard. It's not so hard that CM Punk will appear on Dynamite. And when CM Punk appears on Dynamite, the people that don't like him will appear on Collision. I mean, come on. This is like Storyline for Dummies. I don't want to use nastier words. Remember those yellow books, like Something for Dummies, like Internet for Dummies? This is like Storyline for Dummies. If you just picture cartoon graphic on those yellow books, the fuck is that? The people that don't like CM Punk, when CM Punk appears on a Dynamite, they're going to walk out and they're going to appear on Collision instead. Here's a quote. Here's a quote from a journalist this week. The idea is to get people to resolve their issues, but that has not happened yet, nor has there been any notable progress. Does anybody think that WarnerMedia, which made this deal with AEW to pull YouTube, to get Collision, to get CM Punk, do all this stuff, you think WarnerMedia goes into an executive meeting? Hey, give us an update about the situation with AEW and their roster and all this. No update yet, sir. What do you mean there's no update? Oh, Dave Meltzer reports that there's no progress whatsoever. What the fuck are we committing all this money and time for if nobody's going to get along? This is bizarro land. These are people trying to be part of the storyline. They want you to believe that there is so much friction within AEW that it's going to come to a head at AEW All In. That's what this is. And I'm sorry, again, you know, believe me, when I pulled video from Wednesday, and I'm going to pull video soon again from somewhere else because I don't want to deal with YouTube algorithms no more. Because 95% of the podcasters out are all clickbaiting and putting these fake bullshit out there to carry conversations for months like this. Instead of telling the truth about what's going on, it's like, why am I wasting all my time, energy, money, and sleep, and sacrificing time I could be spending with my family and my wife? Because YouTube algorithm doesn't want to do this or do that. You know, so it's like, okay, you know, I'm not going to invest that kind of time. But the point is you see what's going on out there, and everybody wants to be like part of the story to portray that these people are grown, petulant preteens. Preteens are more mature than these people out there. That it's so toxic. It's so toxic that WarnerMedia committed to all of this stuff. And there's been no progress. There's been no issues resolved. They're trying to portray that there's so much anger. This is like another season of All Access. Friends, when you're talking about WarnerMedia and you're talking about the deals that are being done right now, what they're trying to do, these journalists especially, are trying to generate as much buzz to AEW as possible. As much, because even, I go back to my hotline in 1997, something I used to say ad nauseam back then. I used to feud with all the other wrestling hotlines back then. We used to make fun of the Captain Ivans, the Captain Lennies, the Captain Dominic Valentes, the Dave Genetic Freaks, the Wire Duck Wrestling Hotline, and it goes on and on and on. And people used to love it. And I realized, like, well, maybe I'm being too naive. People felt that the real-life fights were more entertaining than what they were seeing on TV. They're trying to make this as real as possible to all of you. But at the end of the day, you got to use the common sense. Like, why would fucking WarnerMedia commit all of this when nothing is resolved? What happens if really nothing is resolved and CM Punk is like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck you. This company doesn't give a shit. You can't pay me enough to be part. Fuck you. I'm going home. What are you going to do then? They're going to sue CM Punk? Yeah, but. So believe me when I tell you, I have a lot of respect for a lot of these journalists because they work their goddamn ass off. Pay very close attention who are not reporting a lot of this shit. Pay very close attention at the news sources out there that are not reporting this stuff because they are the ones that are telling you more by telling you nothing. It's just ridiculous. It's moronic. We're dealing with grown adults here. You would have thought that somebody fucking murdered somebody's mother. You would have thought that somebody got their balls cut off. You would have thought that somebody went into the hospital and was in a vegetative state. You would have thought that somebody fucking slashed someone's tires, broke their window, set their house on fire, and killed their pets. This was a backstage little bullshit. If this was added to the book of infamous wrestling fights, it would be towards the end of the book, not because of the date that it happened, because it's so trivial. We're dealing with grown millionaires here. We're not dealing with children. So keep in mind what you're witnessing before your very eyes. And there's a lot of wrestling fans that bite it hook, line, and sinker because it's juicy. Because it's water cooler talk, because it's gossip, because it feels more entertaining than pro wrestling storylines. Oh, look at the dissension with Solo Sikoa and the Usos. Look, yesterday, hey, Solo, Jay's asking you a question. And he puts his tape on. I'll do my part. I'm going to do my part at Backlash. You better do yours. Oh, fuck that pussy bullshit. Get this pussy bullshit. Give me Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and CM Punk that they got to have different TV shows at different time zones in order to be part. And when CM Punk shows up at Dynamite, just like when he showed up in Impact or showed up on Raw, you know, then the people that don't like him will walk out and they'll go to Collision. Hey, Punk, I'm in your hometown. Again, I feel like I want to hit myself over the head with a baseball bat. That so many people that know this is true and will purposely cloud the lines to either keep the conversation going for months or because they want to be part of the storyline. They actually feel like they feel successful, that the more fans that we could convince that this is all going on, we're actually helping AEW. Maybe one day we might join Will Washington. Difference is that Will Washington is an authentic, generous, hardworking, good guy that actually does and expresses his opinions and views for the benefit of the company, not for the benefit of his shows, not for the benefit of how many hits and views. That's why the motherfucker got hired. And I'm extremely happy for Will. That guy earned it. And you see these dirtbag losers like Brad Shepherd and others that are just bitter, just bitter. Those are the people you got to be really, really careful of. You got to be careful of these journalists that are trying to fucking sell you nothing but bullshit. But there's a lot of people that'll go along with it because it's juicy and it's fun and it's entertaining and it's much better than the Usos getting mad at Solo. I'll do my part. I'm going to do my part. You better do yours. All right. So I'm out of here. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don Tony Show. So, once again, don't forget, for my friends out there that want to be part of the predictions contest, you have till 3 p.m. today. And then tomorrow, yes, I use a similar graphic. Tomorrow, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, right here. We will be here talking Backlash. We will also do a little sit-down episode. So, if you have any Q&A and you want to be part of it, 8 o'clock Eastern, Sunday night, join me here. We'll be here for about, I'd say about 90 minutes. We'll do another show, and then we got Monday. We start the tournament leading into Night of Champions. And the rosters will officially go into effect. All right, I'm out of here. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that you think would like the shows, let them know about it. And I want to thank you, as always, for the support. It is very much appreciated. Believe me when I tell you, you know, it's will never be taken for granted. I really do appreciate each and every one of you out there. So have a good weekend. Enjoy Backlash. And I'll catch you all again on the next show. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.